All right, on this episode of Bouts Talkin' Bouts, excited to be speaking with an individual ahead of quite the intriguing fight at Bellator 273, transpires later on in the month. It goes down on January the 29th, and it's a lightweight bout between Chris Gonzalez and Syed Awad. And excited to, you know, welcome Syed back onto the show after a little bit. How's your day going so far, man?
It's doing good, man. Just busy like always, but I just want to say, first and foremost, thank you for having me on the show.
Oh, yeah, no worries, man. It seems like a lot of cool things happening in your life and stuff like that. Like, it seems like you've been a homeowner for just a bit over a year now. So big congrats on that. That's a solid milestone, to say the least.
I wish it would have happened before, but, you know, I mean, nothing really happens as planned in life, you know, and you kind of take it and go, and I'm happy to finally be a homeowner, not a renter, and add more things to my plate, so it's nonstop here at home, just like nonstop at training.
Yeah, I mean, everything happens in its own time and everything like that, but a cool sort of situation to find yourselves in and everything like that, and just even on the competitive end of things, just getting back into the win column with the last one, an emphatic first round finish over Nate Andrews there. Can you talk about how that Bellator 259 victory felt in May there for you?
Yeah, it felt really good. You know, obviously I was in a horrible position, never been in that position in my life and with my career. And so it was pretty emotional for me to go in there and be able to get the win the way I did and get out there, you know, unscathed. You know, I had a little cut, but, you know, I was back training right away and just hungry to get it again. So I'm happy that they finally booked me. And things are starting to get busier for Bellator, and I'm just happy to be back, you know, on the roster and fighting again.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like you almost thrive in those kind of moments, like where it feels like your back is against the wall. Like, I'd seen, I believe you had an Instagram post. It was ahead of your fight with, you know, Evangelista Cyborg there and stuff like that, and just how it was like a short notice kind of fight and like had a couple defeats at that time, but it almost seemed like you embraced that pressure and had a real breakthrough sort of performance. Is that a fair characterization? And also as an extension, I guess, is that something that you felt manifested in the last fight too?
I 100% believe so. I do think, you know, I had to learn the hard way, you know, obviously that I do thrive under pressure and when my back's against the wall, because I think it goes with my fighting style, where I kind of always been a, you know, hard-nosed, gritty fighter, where I kind of just bite down on my mouthpiece and go. And I think having my back against the wall really brings out, you know, the old school me, where I just basically don't give a fuck. And I'm just going to go in there and I'm going to do what I have to do to get a win. And I feel like when I am in those situations, that's exactly what happens. And I love it, man. I thrive off of it. And I believe it is who I am, you know, as a fighter, you know, foremost, you know, as a person as well.
It seemed like the last one, though, had an even, like, additional sort of compounded thing you were dealing with there. Like, it seemed like what was going on in Gaza, just the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, was really weighing on you at the time, and understandably so. Like, was, you know, part of that fight to kind of, you know, shine a spotlight on that situation, like, was there, I guess, a level of pride you feel in being able to shine a spotlight on that kind of stuff? Is there a catharsis that comes from an experience like that, like getting a victory there, or is it just the heartache still lingering a fair bit?
No, you're spot on with it. You know, that definitely, you know, triggered a lot of things for me, you know, being that, you know, like my dad, you know, I'm first generation American, and, you know, my dad came from Gaza when he was 18 years old, came to college here, did the whole thing and, you know, had us. And so when all that was going on, like literally the night before the fight, you know, my sister called me. She was like, yeah, one of our neighbors is trapped under their house. You know, one of the neighbors that they've known since they're kids, since their grandpas knew their family, and their house got blown up and they're stuck under the rubble. But, you know, you won't hear that on the mainstream media, because it's not, you know, mainstream media is controlled by, you know, who. So, you know, I don't want to get into that too much, but, you know, to get calls like that and hear that, and they're just saying, you know, call, you know, mom and dad, just let them know, you know, that, you know, we're thinking about them and we're praying for them. And, you know, it was a lot to take in, you know, especially being in the position I'm in, or I was in, you know, coming off losses. And, you know, like that would have been my last fight in Bellator had I went out there and just, you know, froze up you know, under the pressure. And, you know, we probably wouldn't be having this interview right now, or we probably would be, and I'd be with a different organization. Who knows? So it was a lot of pressure. But, you know, like you said, and like I said earlier, it's I feel like pressure, you know, for me, you know, everybody knows pressure makes diamonds. And for me, I think I thrive off those moments. I still feel like I have a lot of pressure on me. I can't go and blow this fight either. You know, I got to get back on a winning streak. My plan is to win the title before I retire. I'm getting older. And, you know, that's my plan. It's one of my goals I've had. So I just want to go get on a nice little streak and hopefully get a title fight and sell off in the sunset.
I mean, I think you'd be positioned well in that regard, just with your, you know, opponent having a pretty good profile as like a prospect in the company. And obviously you've been a stalwart with the promotion for a little while there and everything like that. So I imagine a victory here for either of you would get yourself a spot in the lightweight rankings, or at least I'd have to think, but I don't do the rankings. I'm not one of those guys.
Yeah, I don't even think Bellator does the rankings, to be honest. You know what I mean? I kind of think that's just it's more of a media thing, and they let them kind of do their thing and throw guys around. But I have yet to see, you know, guys fight their way up a Bellator ranking and then fight for the number two spot and fight for the title. It's kind of just goes as they want it. You know, they give title fights as the way they've been doing it, which is not a bad way. I just don't think the rankings are up to par where they should be, as, you know, to the extent of them being rankings. You know, you think, you know, you fight the number 10 guy, okay, now you're top 10. You just beat the number 5 guy, now you're number 5. Now you beat the number 2 guy, you're up for a title fight. And I don't think they have that down yet. And so I don't really care for the rankings. I mean, it's cool to have your name there. People kind of look at you more, but I'm over all that. You know, I mean, I'm just coming to fight. I'm coming to fight whoever I need to fight to get myself to where I need to be. So I know this fight, the kid's not really known. You know, he's young. He has good wrestling background. But I know it's going to be a tough fight. The kid's coming to fight, comes from a good camp. And I just got to go make a statement and then just, you know, let him know, like, hey, whoever's next, I want that to be in a position to put me in a position to get, you know, move towards a title fight.
Yeah, and I mean, Chris Gonzalez in a bit of an interesting position. I mean, we were talking earlier about your ability to function in a situation where it almost feels like your back is against the wall a little bit. I mean, he's kind of in a certain, not in like a tight spot necessarily, but he had that 6-fight unbeaten streak and coming off of the first career defeat there to Goiti Yamauchi, a stalwart contender in the division there. So yeah, very interesting fight in a number of regards, but it seems like you're familiar with, you know, his skill set and what he brings to the table. Does that come from like individual tape study you're doing, or do you have someone at your camp, like maybe in a coaching capacity, more so studying Chris Gonzalez and all that?
Well, the coach always breaks fighters down, lets me know what he does good, what he does bad, and, you know, what we're going to work on, what we're not going to work on, or what, you know, what we need to do to win a fight. But since I've started, I've been one of those guys that, I mean, when I first started, I wouldn't really watch too much tape because I always felt like it would impact me negative. I had a different thought on it, you know, in the first couple years of my career. And I kind of switched that around, started doing a lot more tape, figuring things out, because, you know, so, yeah, I broke the kid down. And, you know, I've seen him fight before. When they first offered him to me, I wasn't sure who he was. And then I went back and I was like, why does that name sound familiar? So I Googled him real quick. And I was like, oh, it's that wrestler kid from Alpha Male. So I remembered him because I remember him being a prospect and coming up. And so, you know, I started watching his tape. And I remember watching his Goichi fight, because, you know, I fought Goichi. So I like to see who he fights after and how things go. And I remember watching that fight. And then, so I was like, man, I got to, you know, really pay attention if they want me to fight this guy. Because, you know, I accepted right away, but I was like, let me go back and watch some tape. So started finding, like, some of his old fights and looking up his wrestling and seeing things he does good, things he does bad. And, you know, I think he's very green. He has a skill set to be really good. I think it's going to be a good fight, you know, for the both of us.
And this is sort of an offshoot question a little bit, but thought it would be curious to get your insights because you've had a multitude of catch weight fights, like, and 165, that seems like it's like on and off as far as it being like a broader, like instantiated kind of weight class. Like there's certain promotions that do it, like there's a couple circuits out here where I'm at in Canada that have 165 pound titles. Eagle FC seems like they're looking to do a bit of a heavy push for that. Like what are your thoughts on that being like a formally like established weight class just across the board for everyone, just having 165 pounds and maybe like amend welterweight to like 175?
Yeah, I like it. I like it because where I stand is I've always been a bigger lightweight, and I've always been like a smaller welterweight. So I kind of, I think I would sit perfect with the 165 pound division. You know, thank God, you know, from the experience, I was able to keep, from the experience, I'm able to keep my weight in control. I eat really good year round. I'm not one of those guys that blow up to 200 pounds and get back down. I used to blow up to like 190 in the first start of my career. And then after like years of training and fighting, I started keeping my weight around a certain weight. And yeah, like I can make weight, you know, in 2 days, you know, usually any time around the year, you know, unless you catch me right after a fight and I'm like, okay, I'm going to cheat a little bit for the next 2 weeks. But even then, I'm still pretty light. But, you know, I my diet's, you know, on point. My wife cooks awesome. She makes sure I don't put anything bad in my body. And even when I want to cheat, like I don't have stuff here to cheat. And, you know, I cheat a little bit here and there, but she got me down when it comes to nutrition and taking care of myself. And, you know, thank God, because, you know, if not, I'd probably be one of those guys walking around 190, and God knows how hard it would be for me to make weight. So I make weight fairly easy in being a bigger 55-pounder, but I still, you know, I don't, nobody likes to cut weight. So if they offer me a fight, you know, to catch her, I'll take it. I don't give a shit. You know what I mean? I fought daily at 175. Like, it's weight classes to me. There's a reason why there's weight classes, and that's, you know, a stupid jump to go up that high. But if it's two guys that can make lightweight, and we both agree to fight 165, why not? Like, if they call me tomorrow and say, hey, Chris wants to fight 165, let's do it. You know, it's not a big deal to me. I'll make 165 tonight if I wanted to. But, yeah, I wouldn't mind it.
Yeah, I mean, it's good to, you know, have those options and to just stay feeling good, feeling ready and whatnot. Like, you don't, like you said, you don't want to be like 190 pounds and then get a short notice fight offer. And it's like, I don't know about that. I'll try to figure something out. You want to, yeah, just be ready to kind of go there. But yeah, I've been in the sport for a decent bit now. And like you're talking about reflecting on different prior periods, like, oh, at this point in my career, maybe I'd balloon up a little bit and weight and everything like that. Like, do you find yourself reflecting on different things in the past like that? Like, I guess I'd just seen one of your posts you had there where it was like early April 2011. And you're like, oh yeah, like the 10-year anniversary of, you know, fighting Joe Duarte and just, you know, Scott Coker, same boss that you have today and everything like that. So do you find yourself reflecting on different things just having been in the game for a little bit? Like, obviously you want to look forward, but yeah, quite a legacy so far.
No, of course. I mean, every once in a while something will pop up and it's like, oh, this is a fight from, you know, 2006 or 2008 or whatever, and I'll go back and I'll remember how, like, start putting like how my training camp went, start thinking about how my diet was, and I'm like, oh man, I had a shitty weight cut for that fight. Or, you know, I remember I used to eat pasta all the time and, you know, thinking, you know, taking IVs, and I was wondering why I would go out there and be just slow and sluggish. And, you know, and it all comes with, you know, experience, you know, things that you can't really buy. You know, you could try to teach people experience, but you never really get it until you've been there and, you know, you went through it. And, you know, I'm thankful for everything I went through. You know, I feel like I've taken the long route in my career with everything I've done, but, you know, I'm thankful for it. You know, it just sucks that I'm getting older and I have all this experience now, because had I had this experience when I was in my 20s, things would have been a lot different in my career.
Yeah, exactly. You got to just like have those lived experiences. Like it feels different almost. Yeah. Cause like I've had certain moments where people try to impart something onto me, but you don't tangibly feel it until you actually go through it yourself. So yeah, experience super vital. But to that point, it seems like the, you know, gym has switched up a little bit, not like super recent per se, but it seemed like you were kind of getting in work over at Fortis MMA there. Like, how's the, I guess, tenure with Fortis MMA been? And just, can you speak to some of the work you've been able to get in there?
It's awesome. I moved my whole family to Texas for that reason. I mean, I hooked up with the coach through my manager, and me and my wife wanted to move out of California for a while. And I was like, you know, I have to find a good gym, you know, I'm not just going to move and join a random gym. And, you know, so I was like, let's go check out Texas. So we came down, I met the coach, we talked, I trained that night. I left putting my earnest money down on a property to build before I went home. That's how invested I was in it, just from the first day of training. And after I moved out here, once the house was built, I moved out here, and it's been, you know, pedal to the floor since I've gotten there. And there's a reason why, the team does as good as they've done, as good as they've done, is because the coach, he's something different. You know, he's really smart. He looks at fighting from a fighter's point of view, plus an intelligent, mindful point of view as well. So, so yeah, I'm thankful to be a part of the team. It's a small team with a lot of good talent. And when I say a lot, I mean a lot of good talent. There's just sharks in the room, and everybody works with each other. There's no egos in the gym. I think that's a main thing. You know, you get guys that think they're better than other guys, and you're not going to get the work as those guys would, because the coaches always kind of segregate those guys and kind of help them more and do their thing when they're superstars or whatnot. Here, everybody's on an even playing field, and the coach gives everybody their time when needed. And we all treat each other like family. And I think that's the reason why this gym does so good. And I'm just thankful to be a part of it, because I already see my game elevate tenfold. And I've only been here, you know, I've been here a year, but I've only been training with them for about maybe 10 months. And I'm excited to go out there and put on a show, you know, with this backing of the gym.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about it being like a kind of like succinct, tight group, but it seems like there's a lot of real top level guys in there. Like Georgie Karahanyan seems like someone you get in a lot of really great, like iron sharpens iron kind of work with.
Yeah, well, Georgie, me and him, we grew up training together our whole careers, but he came out here because I called him. I told him, you got to come check this place out, you know, when I first moved. And he finally came. He did he was here for about 2 weeks or a week and a half, but he wants to come out for his next camp and do work with us as well. But it's full of teams. Like I have one of my teammates I train with a lot. He's a 70-pounder. He fights in the UFC. His name's Ramez Brahimaj, and this guy's a stud. He's fighting Kurt McGee his next fight, and I get a lot of work with him. I have a lot of little guys that are not little guys, but guys my size that I work with. Ocho, he fights in the UFC. Abdul Karim, he should be signed pretty soon. This dude's a workhorse, and he's been my main partner since I've joined the gym. And he just fought in LFA last year. I don't know when his next fight, they're working on it. So he's a super stud that's going to come up out of nowhere and just destroy people. So I'm just thankful to be a part of this group, you know, and these guys push me every day. And there's so many more to name. It's unreal. But, yeah, these guys really unlocked some stuff I didn't know I had, you know, from pushing me to limits that I didn't know I had either. And I'm just excited to go out there and showcase it.
Yeah, that's interesting, talking about how the range of like sparring partners and stuff like that and just people you're working with can range from like, you know, featherweight bodies to welterweight. Like, is there that, you know, like curate the sparring partner dynamic whereby you get that working with maybe guys who are like marginally a bit bigger just to get the familiarity with like the frame, power, just different feel of it, but then also getting the, I guess, speed and reflex benefits of working with people maybe even in like a weight category just below you? Or do you try to curate it more for, I guess, having training partners that have, like, I guess, the stylistic tells of your next opponent? Like, how does all that go down?
I think it's super important to train with different weights. I mean, people might look at it different, but for me, I think it's super important. And there's time and position to do so as well. You know, I'm not going to go right at the end of my camp and train with a welterweight and put him on top of me for wrestling where I could possibly get hurt just because he's bigger and stronger. You know, and then there's times and there's a place for when to implement a lighter guy or when to implement a heavier guy. And depending on the position you're in too, if you're doing groundwork, you probably don't want somebody too heavy on top of you, but you also want somebody strong enough to be able to hold you down and make you work harder to get up. And then, you know, when you're on your feet, you don't want some guy you're going to sit there and tag up because then you make it too easy. So you're going to implement a bigger guy that's stronger, then you're going to implement a smaller guy that's faster. So there's always a time and a place for certain bodies to be used. And I think the coach does really good at implementing guys depending on where you're at in your camp. And he always switches it up and makes it work and make sure you're getting the most work you could possibly get out of every teammate you have in the gym.
Yeah, good to have that economy of effort. And I've seen a couple comments from Georgie just talking about how great the coaching personnel is there and stuff like that. I mean, you articulated it well earlier, like someone who understands the mindset of the fighter, but also who has like that, you know, coaching role when necessary, like stop you from redlining, shift you over here, try this out sort of thing. But yeah, I'm really excited to hear all of that great work and really interesting to see the skills you bring to the table here. It seems like we're going to see that almost next version of Syed Awad by the sounds of it. But you've been great with your time and fun getting to talk to you ahead of these fights, man. But I want to be mindful of your schedule remaining today there and everything. So to that point, Syed, is there anything that you'd maybe want to add kind of as a parting thought as we're wrapping things up here?
No, man, I just want to say thank you, man. Thank you for your time. Always appreciate it, you know, and don't let me rush you. You know, I got time, you know, everything. everything will work out at the end of the day, no matter what you're doing, right? So I just want to say thank you, you know, for your time as well. You know, it was always good to talk to you. I'm definitely looking forward to this fight. I think it's going to be awesome. I think I go out there and show my skill set against a, you know, a really tough wrestler, a young, hungry kid. And I'm excited. I think this is a good fight for where I'm at right now in my career. And I think after this fight, we can look forward and see what's next. And until then, you know, I'm excited to go out there and get this win.
Yeah, it's been a long road, man. I mean, we were talking the one time about how you had that tournament in Costa Rica that almost had the blood sport kind of vibes to it. Now you're with Bellator back on Showtime and everything, so a cool journey for sure.
Yeah, it's definitely been a long, a long, interesting journey. But everything, man, everything happens for a reason. And I think that's the reason why, you know, I was set for this journey to be where I'm at right now. And it's just time for me to capitalize on my situations that I'm in and just move up from here.
Absolutely. And that next chapter in the story of Syed Awad going to be recorded January the 29th. It's Bellator 273. And we've got an intriguing lightweight fight between Chris Gonzalez and Syed Awad. And yeah, to reiterate, great getting to have you on the show, man. Appreciate you making some time. And yeah, just, you know, best of luck with the remainder of the preparations and have a good rest of your day too.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much. And thank you for your time. And hopefully we'll talk soon after the victory.